So we celebrate this great saint today, who lived around the time of the French Revolution. He was in France, so the end of the 1700s and through the middle of the 1800s. And if we know our history, the French Revolution was not very favorable towards religion and the faith, and the Catholic faith in particular. And so as a young boy, John Vianney didn't have much of an education in the faith. It was sporadic at best, and when he did, he had to do it in secret and in hiding. And even education in general wasn't as firm as he probably would have appreciated, because as he pursued his vocation to the priesthood, he struggled mightily with the studies, in particular the learning of Latin. It took him a long time to get through. But they said, his bishop said, what he lacks in intellect, he'd make up for zeal. And the zeal for souls that we heard about in the opening prayer, and the zeal for souls that we see on full display with Jesus, you know, and every time we hear Jesus, his heart is moved with pity. He spent all day ministering and feeding and teaching. And St. John Vianney would say that the priest, he would fully embrace the life of priest as that alter Christus, as the other Christ within the community. There's a quote that's said about St. John Vianney. I believe you can find it in a book called The Soul of the Apostolate, which, by the way, I recommend everyone read, The Soul of the Apostolate. But it said that the devil was known to have said that if he had three St. John Viannis in the world, he would have no power. St. John Vianney was assigned to the city, the village of Ars in France, A-R-S. If you ever have the chance to visit, I would highly recommend. It's still very much a small, undeveloped community. His original church is there. They've expanded it to accommodate the pilgrims who come, the thousands of pilgrims that come yearly to venerate his body, which is incorrupt. Even though he's been dead over 150 years, his body is fully intact. He spent hours in the confessional. And you can go and visit the confession, the chair where he sat to hear hours, 10, 11, 12, in the summertime, 15, 16 hours of confession a day. They asked him one time during the winter how he was able to withstand the cold weather being exposed in the confessional. He said, oh, that's easy. After about November, I can't feel my feet until Easter. And he was just numb from the cold, but he was passionate about the zeal for souls. When he was assigned to Ars, the bishop told him, you will find no faith there. Because after the French Revolution, so many of the faithful had lost the faith, had left the practice of the faith. And so John Vianney was sent there to reignite the faith of the people. It was a small village, 230 people. And it took him 6 or 7 years before anyone came back to the regular practice of the faith. And he immediately, upon arrival, began severe prayer and fasting and penances for the people, begging conversion of the souls of the faithful who would spend their Sundays working and dancing and drinking and all kind of other distractions. And so he would spend his time on his knees. At one point in his life, he would get a sack of potatoes and boil them on Sunday and eat that sack of potatoes throughout the day. And they said by Friday it was all rotten and moldy, so he just wouldn't eat the rest of the week. He would allow himself a small little sip of milk a day, which usually was sour because of the lack of refrigeration. He was doing this for the salvation of souls. He said, I will do the penance that they won't do. When people would come to confession, he would begin to cry. And they would say, why are you crying? He says, I weep for your sins because you don't. And he would give very light penances. And he would take the severity of the penance on himself. And he wasn't a good preacher. As I said, he wasn't well educated. And so One of the stories is that he would go to the neighboring pastor and get the homily he had preached the week before and spend the whole week memorizing it so that he could deliver that homily the following Sunday. And when I was there, the bishop of the town told us that action converted a lot of the farmers who would see him just walking through the fields trying to memorize. They would see his passion and his zeal, and that helped to convert some of these farmers, some of these men, to come back to the faith. And there's a story that's told that one night these two or three girls had been out at the bar drinking and doing whatever. In the middle of the night, they were going home. And as they passed the church, they heard this wailing and this crying. And as they looked through the window, there was this very emaciated, skinny man on his knees in front of the tabernacle, begging for the conversion of the people of the village. And that girl converted on the spot, went to confession, and was one of his closest companions. He lived the evangelical counsels, poverty, chastity, and obedience. He said, we should have nothing. Everything belongs to God. That way, if the beggar comes to me, he says, I'm just the same as you. I own nothing either. He would tell the men who were working on Sunday, you should give the money you're earning to the poor because you're stealing from God. He had this passion for zeal, this souls. He stayed in the same parish for over 40 years. And the years before his death, 20,000 people a year would come from all over France so that he could hear their confession, because they knew that he was a saint. They knew he had the gift of reading souls. So those same number of people still are going to his tomb, his church, to venerate this wonderful saint. In 2009, Pope Benedict placed him before the priest of the world and said, this is your model. And so that's why at the beginning of Mass, I truly, honestly, humbly ask for your prayers. That like St. John Vianney, I can lay down my life, everything, for the conversion of the souls of the people of this parish. That's why I'm here. St. John Vianney said this, the priest is not a priest for himself. He does not give himself absolution. He does not administer the sacrament to himself. He is not for himself. He is for you. After God, the priest is everything. Leave a parish 20 years without priests, and they will worship beasts. If the missionary father and I were to go away and you would say, what can we do in this church? There is no mass. Our Lord is no longer there. We may as well pray at home. When people wish to destroy religion, they begin by attacking the priest. Because where there is no longer any priest, there is no sacrifice. And where there is no longer any sacrifice, there is no religion. In the gospel, we heard about the need for more priests. Let's pray. Truly, sincerely, zealously pray that more young men will say yes to the vocation to the priesthood, so that we will stop worshiping beasts, but turn our hearts in true repentance and worship the one true God. Amen.